prepare yourself. You're about to listen to Super Gamescast 64 with your host, Trey Mitchell, and your other hosts, Austin Guttery and Connor Reisenhoover.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, failure!
What is up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Super Gamescast 64. I am your host, Trey Mitchell, laying back in my chair. I got my mic extended so I can lean back and do this podcast. Just chillaxing. Today, we got Connor Reisenhoover.
Trey, it is a genuine pleasure to be back with you after not being able to podcast last week.
I know. And this week, we are losing Austin. Austin said that he would never podcast with you again, so if you were back, he would be gone. Wasn't that right?
Yeah, Austin and I are actually the same person. So right. Some weeks I do an Austin character, some weeks I do my character. It just depends.
Connor is also on a bit of a delay, right?
I don't know. You tell me I'm going to
be a delay. That was
a delay.
That's the only reason I know. Chris, did that sound like a delay?
Who's this Chris guy that you have yet to introduce?
We have Chris the Fields, the very famous, very popular YouTuber / streamer, Chris the Fields, on the podcast this week.
Making,
very special guest.
Making the grand return after however many episodes it's been since I was on the Gamecast.
It's been a while. I think you were on maybe for some E3 episode. I forgot.
I mean, I guess technically, if you count it like the game of the year last year, I submitted a voice response for. But I can't remember the last time I've fully guested on the Super Gamescast 64 podcast.
Well, it's good to have you back. How you been?
I've been feeling great.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Oh yeah, dude.
So Chris the Fields, he if you don't know, he streams. He's a streamer, very famous streamer, right?
Like 70-ish followers and an average of like one or two viewers per stream.
That's not true. You do fun streams though with Perry and other peoples.
In particular, with Cray Trey, our very own,
yeah,
right here.
You've been streaming with me for like a year or year and a half.
We're off and on, but we've done many games together.
We're like Ross and Rachel, you know, on again, off again. Sometimes mm-hmm. we decide not to, you know, stream for a while, then we're back. It's a whole deal.
We're going to have a little streamer baby eventually, maybe.
Do they? I never watched the show.
They do have a baby eventually, okay. But they're still not married at that point.
Oh, that's sinful. I don't
that
believe
is.
In that, Chris.
Okay. So, yeah. No stream baby.
No stream baby. I'm sorry. But
friend spoilers, I guess.
Sorry for friend spoilers. we've been kind of doing Zelda, that's or Nintendo games, really. I don't know if we've done anything besides Nintendo, right?
Well, I mean, Banjo-Kazooie is kind of a gray area at this point. Yeah, we played it on the Xbox version, but
yeah, it came out on Nintendo 64.
Yes, and that would be true.
Right. You also have a YouTube channel where you do videos on Fortnite. Is that correct?
I've done one video that's like tangentially related to Fortnite where I do mm-hmm. Fortnite dances because I won/lost a bet that I said if a Smash Brothers DLC character turned out to be a Fire Emblem character, I'd have to do Fortnite dances.
That's an easy bet. Like, that's like, you should be expecting to lose that bet.
At the time, because the characters that were coming out for Smash were like pretty big deal third-party characters, mm-hmm. and we assumed that train was going to be going. At the time, it was unexpected that a Fire Emblem character would make it in as a new fighter. And, but there was just enough, like, reality to that bet where it was kind of interesting whether it would go one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Obviously, history tells us which way it went.
It's all Fire Emblem all the time.
Yep, every single character.
Every character.
They all use swords. They all have counters.
They do.
Chris, do you think that they're going to release a Fire Emblem character for the Nickelodeon Fighters game or no?
I do not think they will release any Nickelodeon Fighters in Fire Emblem, no.
Okay, I was just making sure.
Thank you for... What do you do videos on, Chris? Besides milk, and explain the whole milk bit to the listeners who don't know also.
Okay, well, I like milk, and it's just kind of an in-joke between my friends that, wow, Chris likes milk, so that must mean he, like, really likes milk and drinks it all the time.
Sure.
So that's just where that comes from.
Yeah, it's like working at the Ticket. You know, you have one quirk, and that becomes your thing. Like Justin, you know, Justin Montemayor, who's been on the show, friend of the show, He really loved King of Queens growing up, and he had a make-a-wish because he had a cancer as a baba and lost his leg. He was a kid, not a baby, but he was like a teenager, and he had a make-a-wish, and his wish was to go visit the set of King of Queens and meet Kevin James. So now he's King of Queens guy, you know?
Yeah,
so
of course.
You're milk guy.
Yeah, and to play into that, I just made a video on my channel where it's a song from Sesame Street where the only lyric is the word milk, just repeated over and over again, and I drink a gallon of milk to that song.
Milk, 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 milk. And you also have the Dark Souls as the chocolate milk of video games.
That is true, that is true. I wouldn't say my most famous video, but definitely like my most infamous video.
Uh-huh. But what do you normally do videos on?
Well, normally I just do videos on games that I find interesting or like. I've covered every single game in the Fire Emblem series, talk in depth about each one of them. Most recently, I covered all the Golden Sun games and what I think might potentially be the future of that series. And in general, I just, whatever comes to mind, whatever I feel like talking about, I'll talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
You can find that at youtube.com/ChrisTheFields. Just search up Chris the Fields. You'll find it pretty easily, I think.
Okay. And you've been doing that for a while, right? I think we one of the streams, we played your first video. And what, like, how long ago was that again?
8 years.
Damn.
August 21st, 2013 was when I uploaded that. And we just passed by that pretty recently. So,
okay, happy birthday.
It's been a long while.
It has.
You could raise a child in the time I make videos.
8 years. That's two college. That's two times in college.
That is.
That's
that
two
is.
College careers. Yeah, or two high school careers, or high school and college, I guess.
Or one long college career if
yeah,
you
very
need
long.
To take a while.
Right.
It ain't a competition.
Yeah, exactly. That's the old Animal House bit. The worst 8 years of my, or 8 years down the drain. I think it might have actually been 6 years, but a lot of people do like 5 or 6 years now, honestly. I technically did 5 years. So
I think, Mike, I can't say full details because I don't know full details, but
sure.
I think my cousin was like on and off in college for about 10 years.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So. New overnight board op, Tyler. He's my age, but he like just graduated a few years ago. So like, yeah, like people, everyone's different. You don't have to go to college. You can do college later. It's all different, Chris. We're all different people. I know you're Mr. You need to do it this way and that's the way, but you know, the rest of the world.
How I was born and raised, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So this is a video game podcast, Chris. Did you know that?
I would not guess it by the fact that it's called Super Games Cast 64, but hey, that's how it works out.
Well, it's about video games. So what have you been playing, Chris?
Well, I've been playing a very recent release, came out yesterday even,
new game.
I think. Psychonauts 2, I've been delving into that.
Okay. So I've been wanting to play 1 because I want to play 2 as well, because I know people are raving about it.
Definitely play 1 before 2 because it provides a lot of context going in. And Psychonauts 2 also takes place like 3 days after the first one. So it's pretty fresh storyline. What I'm impressed with is there's a bit of roughness overall. But broad strokes, they nailed pretty much all the important aspects about it. And despite it being a sequel that was like whenever the first game came out, so like 15-ish years in the making, maybe even 20, who knows, but it feels like they haven't missed a beat between one and two at all.
Okay. And this is Tim Schafer's company, Fulbright. Am I right? Not Fulbright.
Double Fine.
Double Fine. There you
Double
go.
Double Fine.
Sorry. Double Fine. Not Fulbright. Double Fine. So it's like a platformer, right?
Yeah. It's. I wouldn't quite say it's like Banjo-Kazooie because there's a lot of like clear differences in its structure, but it's kind of got this like sort of collectathon-ish vibe to it. But each of the worlds have more of a defined overall story. And what I love about Psychonauts is that it really takes what you would expect a 3D platformer world to be and just really runs with the concept. Like, worlds in Psychonauts aren't an environment per se. It's like a really crazy bending of a mental concept, but it works in a very compelling way.
It's not just Halloween theme, Christmas theme, swamp theme.
No, it's like you go into like a casino that's also a hospital, or you're running across a like boot camp, like Vietnam War sort of like battlefield, and it's called like Basic Braining. It's a very tongue-in-cheek humor-esque game, which also I think is very charming.
And so this one's good. How far are you into it, do you think?
I don't know, like, percentage-wise how far I am. I've done the first three worlds, of or brains, however you want to look at that. So I'd say I'm a pretty good chunk of the way through, but I've been playing the game for about 10-ish hours, and I'm just mostly exploring like the hub world because there's a lot to dive into there.
You said it's rough. Is it like... Is it does it look like a new game, or does it look like a like PS2 game?
It looks like a new game. Okay. Full disclosure, I'm playing it on an Xbox One S.
What?
So yeah, not the most current-ish hardware.
Right.
So because I'm playing
it on Game Pass, right?
It is on Game Pass. I'm playing it through Game Pass. Great. So roughness, I mean, like, it gets a little framey. One time the game crashed on me unexpectedly. So there's a bit of like performance issues, but maybe on PC or the Series X, that's completely ironed out.
Those
I have
will
no
probably
way of
get
going.
Ironed out as it goes too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also Rasputin, the main character,
not Rasputin. Little,
not Rasputin. No. This is Rasputin.
Okay.
Yeah, he moves a little slower than I would like him to, but otherwise the controls are pretty great.
What exactly is the story, I guess, of the games?
Well, broad concept is that in the first game, you go into a summer camp for psychic little kids. And what you do is you go into people's minds. And in the first game, it's more like just like training. Second game, you're like, you have like missions and objectives to accomplish when you dive into people's minds. But you're diving into people's minds, maybe helping work them through some of their issues and overall progressing into the story.
Okay.
I can't remember exactly what the story of the first game was all about. It's been a long time since I played it, but in Psychonauts 2, you have a mole in the Psychonauts that's leaking information. You got to find out who they are. But I have no leads on what that storyline is yet.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you're liking the game. Anything else you've been playing?
About last week, I finished off the Metroid Prime trilogy.
Okay.
One I played last year, and I loved one. Metroid Prime 2 is kind of like a love-hate relationship for me. I think it's probably the most fascinating Metroid game, because it's got a lot of cool ideas, but in overall execution, I don't think it quite nails it like the first game did. And 3 has just kind of got a different vibe where it's more of like an action first-person shooter, like sort of experience. It's not as heavily focused on like exploration, and it has more of a story focus. But I think it kind of works well for what it is.
Where does Other M fit into those three?
I've not played Other M, but Other M, from what I understand, is a completely different storyline from the Prime games.
Okay. I've not actually... I've played one. I'm not sure how far I got through one. I've not played the other two. I do want to go through all those again.
If you're looking to get into Metroid, I'd probably suggest one of the 2D games to start with. Because I know that you can get pretty lost seeing you play games,
Me?
Trey.
What?
Yes, you. I know you won't believe it, but sometimes you can get a bit turned around. So I think you might have an easier time trying out a 2D Metroid game, but...
I mean, I've played...
Should he just wait and play the new one?
Hmm?
Should he play the new one?
I mean, I've played...
That's a Metroid Dread.
Yeah.
I don't know, because Dread seems like it's very heavily tied in with Fusion, so it might be one of those cases where you should probably play Fusion first.
I think I played a little bit of Fusion, too. Sense. I know I had it. I know I owned it. I'm pretty sure I played it.
Otherwise, Prime 1 is an absolutely fine starting point.
Yeah, I've played it. I remember playing it as a kid. I just don't remember how far I got.
Okay. Yeah. It took me a long time to eventually come around to beating Prime 1.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was the first Metroid game I beat, and that was last year. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Guys, I've never played a Metroid game.
Well, like I said, you could probably start with one of the 2D ones. Super Metroid's the easiest place to start with.
You say that, but, like, that's less forgiving, right? I mean,
not really.
Yeah.
Like, maybe a little less forgiving than, like, Prime is, but it's not really, they're not really all that difficult of games. It's mostly about the exploration.
Right. And knowing where you are on the map and stuff.
Yeah.
That can get confusing.
Like, the NES and Game Boy Metroids, those are a bit too rough. I'd say just play the remakes in those cases, but...
And honestly, I'm okay with directions when I'm not... I think it's just the streaming that makes me a little more confused.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. For those on the audience who are not streamers, it's very energy and energy consuming to play a game. And if you have a co-host, talk to that co-host. And if you have chat going, interact with chat, making sure they're entertained. And
right.
It can be a bit discombobulating, so that's absolutely a factor too.
That's what Trey brings me on, so that I can just talk. And
yeah,
then he can play the game and occasionally talk to me.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's why I bring everyone.
And then
he'll
yell at me while I talk during cutscenes.
Yeah, you do. It's okay though; it's fun. I haven't streamed with you
in
a while.
People are there for
you,
not for the cutscenes.
It's just tough now with like COVID restrictions kind of lifting, and I mean, I know they're not. I know it's weird, but doing more stuff, and you know, Friday, Saturday, it's just. It's a little hard to do it on the weekend.
Your swingers parties are happening again.
I know they're back on the swingers parties.
You go there, you got to drop your keys off at the door, and
you gotta put it in the bucket. Happen. Yeah, go home with the stranger.
Put your mask on.
Not that kind of mask.
You can put like your eyes wide shut.
Yeah,
mask
eyes
on.
Wide shut mask. I got a big old bird beak mask. That's probably what I would have.
I've seen you with that
mask.
I've seen that Twitter.
I like the owl mask.
Seen that Twitter
That's
picture.
Cool. Like the weird owl one. That's all like Illuminati shit, right, Chris?
I guess I can't comment. Not Chris, knowledgeable enough on owls to comment.
Or eyes wide shut.
Sure.
Have you seen Eyes Wide Shut?
What do you think?
No.
For context, if there's like a movie or film or show or something, I probably haven't seen it because I'm very uncultured.
You just stick with video games. That's your lane, and you just stay there.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like,
no.
I think it's worse to try and force a hobby where you don't have interest in.
Mm-hmm. Like sports.
Hey, speaking of forcing a hobby that you don't have interest in,
what's up?
Hey Trey, what have you been playing?
Whoa!
Are
you saying I'm forcing
Trey,
video games? I sometimes feel that way.
I want you to tell me what you're playing, and we'll let the audience decide.
I sometimes feel that way because it's like, you know, everyone's playing Call of Duty, and I just have no interest in Call of Duty. Like, Soroy and Monty are playing, and Soroy is going to do a Call of Duty tournament, and all my Fiji bros are playing Call of Duty, and I tried it, but man, I just, maybe I need to like learn what to do, but I just don't care for it.
Okay, so we learned that Trey has not been playing Call of Duty.
Go back to playing Hades.
I've been playing...
What other games have you not been playing?
Well, I did play a little bit of Resident Evil 4 with Alec VZ Show on stream the other day, yesterday. And we met the little demon boy, you know?
Were you doing Salazar?
Yeah, Salazar.
I've been expecting you, my brother.
Yeah, go on. We got it. We got him on the podcast. Hey, how you doing, Salazar?
I don't remember exactly what quotes he said. Well, I don't know where you've been because unfortunately I couldn't catch that stream last night.
So okay.
I couldn't
it
catch
short.
The screen. I mean,
I didn't really promote it, so yeah. It was cool.
So I don't want to take away the moments that you have not seen. So I won't go too crazy quoting him.
It is I'm sorry. It's fun. I do like Resident Evil 4. I feel like because I was sort of spoiled in a way with playing 1 remake and 2 remake and 3 remake. Because those are like pretty much updated games. Even 1 remake. Mm-hmm. And then went to Code Veronica and was just lost. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've not personally played Code Veronica, but knowing your context for how you kind of got into the series, it did not surprise me at all that you just couldn't connect with it.
Right. Yeah, it's... Yeah, I've just never played it. And, like, people who have played it can probably get into it easily.
I mean, VZ was, like, very highly talkative of Code Veronica when you were starting, but...
No, and honestly, like, the little cutscenes and stuff, I could see why it's pretty highly well-regarded. It's pretty campy, pretty cheesy. You know, I'm sure it's a great ride. But, you know, it's just... I couldn't play it. 4, though, feels like... pretty modern. You know, there's a little bit of clunkiness that I kind of got over, but it feels like a modern game play. It feels like... playing like Metal Gear Solid 3 in a way, you know, where it's a little old, but it you could still get it. You can get used to it.
This is actually why I like playing Resident Evil 4 on the GameCube the most, because the way that game controls, like, makes so much sense when you're actually holding a GameCube controller, because the thing that's easy to forget about Resident Evil 4, that game was originally a GameCube exclusive.
I remember that E3 because it was like, hey, we heard you guys talking on the chat rooms about Wind Waker. Guess what? Nintendo ain't just for kids anymore. We got Eternal Darkness and Resident Evil 4.
Yeah, so... that's...
No, you know what? I'm sorry. That wasn't it was Resident Evil Remake in Eternal Darkness.
Yeah.
I'm wrong, yeah.
4 Still, was though, part of that, yeah. Like, Capcom 5.
Right.
But what I like about the GameCube version of RE4 is that, like, because they only had to design the game for that one controller, like, seeing how all the buttons are laid out and just kind of how that game feels, it makes so much sense for the GameCube controller.
Mm-hmm.
So, personally, that's why I still like playing on the GameCube version the most, despite the other console editions that came out later. But... It's an absolutely phenomenal game. I think everyone should give it a shot at some point.
Yeah, it's very fun. And I'm really liking it, and I'm excited to play Village after I play that.
I still need to play Village. I haven't installed.
Yeah.
And I'm interested in playing it, but I just haven't had like that one moment where it's just clicked where I really want to play it yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of waiting on that one.
Big big vampire lady doesn't do it for you?
Honestly, can I say a hot take?
Uh-oh.
Can I say a hot take?
Uh-oh.
Super Games Cast 64 is going to get blasted for their guests for their hot take. Ooh.
Okay, we're ready.
You know, Vampire Lady, don't care. Doesn't do it for me. I'm honestly little less enjoyment of the game from Whoa. Big Vampire Lady.
All right. Okay. That's Chris the Field. You can tweet him at Chris the Fields.
Please do. Give me the attention. Him. Bring the Twitter algorithm to me.
He's actually a big werewolf guy. So yes. That's why it doesn't do anything for him.
Right. He's big. He's into the new shopkeeper. You know, the whatever his name is, who's like.
What's funny is that exploding
out of his clothes.
What's funny is that like big vampire lady is literally the only thing I know about Resident Evil 8.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I know nothing else.
Yeah,
about
Trey was making that reference, and I was like, I don't know, dude.
Well, they have a gigantic baby man as the shopkeeper. He's like,
would a gigantic like baby man just be a child?
No, he's a man, but he's just ginormous.
What
like,
did you call
it must
him
be hard
man?
For him to move around at all.
I literally cannot comment on what you're saying.
Well, it's in the game. You'll see.
Okay.
And I hear the vampire lady is only in like a bit of it. Like she's not really the main focus.
Kind of like one of those things where it kind of got memed into existence like so hard that it was almost a bit of a turnoff because of just how prevalent it was.
Sure.
I fully acknowledge that I'm not the target demographic for vampire lady, but hey. It worked for Capcom.
They did it
so.
For you. They're like, what would Krista Fields like? Vampire lady.
I like milk. Not. I like milk, not big vampire mommy milkers.
Well,
they got that a bit wrong.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. No, I think like she just became like a... It's like kind of crazy marketing. I don't think they really expected her to be as popular as she was.
I mean, but good on them for really leaning into that when they realized what they had.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. Anyway, let's see what else. Yeah, that's all I kind of been playing. I don't know. I've just been having a hard time. I don't know. So just being like productive. You know, this week, I feel like I've just been on my phone a lot, putting off stuff, you know, then. Pat sleeping. I haven't really been productive. And I haven't really played many games. Even though there's games I want to play, I just haven't felt like playing anything.
I mean, that's happened. That happens. Yeah. It's not unexpected.
Sure. You know, I there's just a lot of... I feel like I play... Now, I feel like last year I just played like a ton of stuff from my backlog. And I still have a lot of my backlog, but I'm just... Like, yeah, I could play that. I could play that. You know, it's sort of... You know. I don't know. Anyway, what have you been playing, Connor?
Well, Trey, if you've been following my progression on Twitter, you'll know that I finished Uncharted 3 within the last 2 weeks.
So, did you
like it? I did. I really, really enjoyed it, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on to Uncharted 4.
Nice.
Which is... absolutely wonderful.
Glad
I think
you love it.
It's easily my favorite of the series so far, and I'm not even that far in. I'm probably an hour and a half in.
It's my favorite of the
series. It's beautiful looking. It feels like the controls, they've really fine-tuned them in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And the character models are really cool. It's a very modern game, which makes sense because it's next-gen. The other three were... remakes PS3, or remasters of the
they're just
games
remasters.
And this one
they're just up-resed or whatever remasters.
This one feels like it was developed for a PlayStation 4, both visually and gameplay wise, and it's really fun. I'm really, really enjoying it.
I'm
it's
glad
like
you're
the same
enjoying
praise I had for the other three.
Yeah, I'm glad you're enjoying. It's my favorite one. It's the most emotional one, I feel like, without being too. It's emotional, but it's not kind of betraying what you expect from the series. You know, it's not going to pull any like big. It's not going to, you know, do anything you wouldn't expect from sort of that genre, but it is still very emotional, I feel like. And it kind of explores Nathan Drake a little more. It explores that character, kind of the idea that he is a mass murderer. No, it does that a little bit, but not too much. Yeah, it's a great game. It's a beautiful looking game. I want to go back and replay it. I'm very close to getting the platinum on that. I think it's just like some multiplayer stuff, and I think beating it on crushing, I have to do that. So what part do you think is my favorite part in 3?
Knowing me, I've already gotten to
in 3. You said you beat 3.
Oh, in 3.
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to assume it's the cargo plane stuff.
It's after the cargo plane where he's in the desert.
Was it wandering around the desert?
Yeah, I love that. That was so, and now this was a game I've talked about my dark period. And this is one of the games I played. I mean, I played those games very early in that period of getting back into video games. And so, like, that was really cool for me playing that back then.
Did you play the Uncharted games sequentially, 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
at that time?
Or? Yeah, I did. Okay. Yeah. And I played them pretty a while ago. And so, like, yeah, that was a big thing. And it was one of those, like, oh, is this a cutscene? Oh, no, I'm just walking here. Okay, this is awesome. And then the camera moves and you hear that poem. And then it was just a cool sequence. And I guess at the time I thought it was really awesome, you know. Now I've been told it's not that great and I shouldn't like Uncharted, right, Chris?
Yeah, you've definitely been told that.
I've been told that, yeah.
I as someone who's probably been that guy, whether I was being ironic or not, I don't think that's necessarily a very healthy stance to be like, oh, Uncharted, but I think they're fine games. I don't think I can ever really replay them. I think they're kind of the most interesting at that first playthrough.
Sure.
But otherwise, I think they're finely made, well polished games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. What's kind of the argument against them, Chris, if you can remind me?
It's sort of like it's a little too like typical AAA game.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like this lowest common denominator kind of made to appeal to the most amount of people possible.
Mm-hmm.
With its story and characters and gameplay. It doesn't have a whole lot of uniqueness that really makes it its own thing.
That's at least the argument I perceive. Right.
I think that's interesting because when I think of games to appeal to the quote lowest common denominator, I think of things like Madden or
Call of Duty, Fortnite,
NBA 2K, Call of Duty, stuff like that. So I could see that it's kind of its flavor is like salt and pepper. Like it's not like crazy out there or doing right. like
that's honestly like probably the best way to describe it.
I would say it's maybe the best meal you can cook with only salt and pepper, but yeah, I could see where it's like it's not doing anything like crazy unique. It's not doing anything like really out there or a concept that's really wild or hard to wrap your head around, but it's well made for what it is.
Mm-hmm. It's like the next step from being it's not Call of Duty level of mass market, but it's maybe not I don't know, Outer Wilds, right? It's not to that level of uniqueness or
it's not some high concept. It's not game. Dark yeah, Souls. No, I'm with you. Yeah, it's no not Dark high Souls. Concept. Yeah. No, it's
but
just like
I still
hey,
enjoy
it's
it. And I like the and I've also heard the argument that like I think I saw someone's video or someone said Uncharted people who call the Uncharted games cinematic aren't fans of film. I found that kind of stupid. Like, yeah, they're pretty cinematic. I don't know. Did a whole video on them. So,
look, man, I think they're fun, but I can also see how someone who is into more conceptual and or like creative creative idea games.
No,
I could see how someone would look at that and be like,
right,
yeah,
It's no wonder.
I could see someone looking at that and being like, nah, this isn't really for me, which is cool. I mean, I get it. I also really like those conceptual games, but yeah, I just think this one's very well made and enjoyable.
And hey, you should never let someone's like opinion of game sucks. Actually, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. That's the simple truth to it.
Yeah, I've never apologized for liking Uncharted, you know. I mean, and I take the criticisms, you know, and I listen to it and I see where they come from, but I still enjoy the games a lot.
I mean, that's just healthy discussion at that point, is acknowledging that there are criticisms to be had.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it can get a little repetitive. A future segment idea, Trey?
Yeah,
let's do it. Future segment idea, Trey? We should do games that you like that maybe, like, critically not great, or like things that like other,
you see, well, like the Uncharted are critically great, thought on like, but I think there's,
you're right,
a...
sorry, I mean like game mob just in
sure.
general, like
game
overall
mob's good. Yeah.
Game people are like, no, this is not a good game, because I would be interested to see what that list looks like for you, and even for Chris or Austin or myself, to be honest with you.
Yeah. What's other games like that, Chris? Like, I know Bioshock Infinite has kind of gotten that backlash.
This guy, I literally just said, maybe we do a future segment, and he's like, well, what if we did it now?
All right, forget it. We'll do a future segment. All right, fine. Anything else you've been playing, Connor?
No, that's what I've been playing, Trey.
All right, let's do the news, since Austin is not here. Chris, you want to do the news song?
Okay, sure.
What? Should we, what theme, what song should we have Chris sing it to?
The Song of Storms?
Okay.
It's time for the news. It's time for the news. We got stories and articles. It's the news. It's the news. It's the freaking news. Hear it today on Super Gamescast 64. It's the news. It's the news. I'm going to hear some stories about the storms of news.
That was the best one ever. That was awesome.
That was great. Awesome. Yeah, yes. That was great.
Completely off the cuff. First take.
It's the best one we've ever done.
Dude, that's what I always say about Chris the Fields. I call him First Take Fields.
First Take Fields. I do too.
You would not say that if you heard the raw recordings of my voiceover for the videos I do.
I don't know.
It actually took him 5 gallons of milk to do that chocolate milk Dark Souls video.
Well, that's not the one he chugged, but yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing about recording like voiceovers is I just flub up on the stupidest little lines. I could be like, the line is like, the game is really good. And I could be like, the game is really good.
I do voiceover work for my job, like for my company. And I'll get stuck on like the word, like my brain will read too fast and I'll be like two words ahead and I'll try to read two words at once and just like smash them together. It's fun.
Absolutely.
Reading's fun.
Firefly in the sky. I wish I could fly as high. Take a look. It's in a book. It's Reading Rainbow.
Trey, breaking news.
Let's hear it.
April O'Neil has been revealed as a fighter for Nickelodeon's All-Star Brawl. Your thoughts go.
What? Wait, for what? The Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl? What? Why not one of the turtles, huh?
Well, there are the turtles in the game already, right?
There are?
The turtles have already been announced, yes.
No, I'm not interested because I don't like females in my games. Woke.
And that's the clip. Take it out.
Woke. Dude, I was on the Gamescast Twitch feed, and every time a female would be on screen, I would look over to the chat. It was just the worst comments. I'm just like, yep.
Well, Trey, were people just as angry about the fact that she's fighting an abomination and cat dog? Cat dog's in the game as well.
I don't think anyone said anything about cat dog. You know, that is a cat and a dog that are combined into one. That should have more scorn for that than April and the April.
It's unnatural.
I don't like it. Cat and dog should not play together. Cat, how does cat dog go to the bathroom? Huh?
No, go ahead.
How does cat dog go to the bathroom, Chris?
I imagine by going to the toilet and doing its business.
Yeah, but do they have separate bladders?
Do your sex,
hey,
right? Do your cat
I don't invade on cat dog's privacy when they.
Well,
need
I need to know
their...
how did cat dog become cat dog?
Well, maybe you could do some field research and find out.
Sandwich and a soda.
Some Chris the Fields research.
That's good.
That's some good comedy right there.
that's funny.
And what about airplane? Yeah, he never did a thing about airplane food.
Hey,
you know that?
I'll take a Coke and I'll take a rum and Coke, please.
And
go ahead. No, keep doing your comedy.
How does cat and dog poop? That's what I want to know.
This guy's really funny. I saw him last week.
He doesn't have a butt.
He gets into Doug in just a second.
Hey, Doug has so many of the same damn shirts. What if it's cold out, Doug? Do you have to wear a jacket?
This is the one.
Hey, Doug.
Okay, we're done.
All right, I don't know.
We're done with this bit. Trey, they're renaming McCree from Overwatch.
Woke, man. Woke. Swoke. Cancel culture. That's what I say.
Chris, have you been following this story, the Blizzard story?
Well, this just came out. Well, I've been following the Blizzard story, not necessarily out of choice, but just because it's so prevalent. It's everywhere. You can't escape it if you want it. But so on the subject of changing the name of, I guess, the formerly named McCree, I'm on two minds about this. Maybe a little indecisive. Like, I think I understand absolutely why they're changing the name, because obviously the real McCree, that character is named off of, apparently not a good person. But I don't know if renaming a character is maybe necessary or the needed thing to do. I think that energy should be put into actually fixing those problems at the company instead of renaming character. But also, I don't care that much about Overwatch. Like, do whatever you want with the character. It's not my character. But
no, I'm with you there. That's how I feel about a lot of things. Like, you know, when they, I don't know. It's like these little things that people get up in arms about, and it's like, okay, whatever. Maybe they could put their focus on the actual issue at hand, you know? Yeah, I see you there. But it's like, who cares, too, you know? And I think I'm with you on that whole bit right there.
But also, I wonder if it's even going to be that effective, because Overwatch has been out for, like, what, 5 years now? We've had 5 years to get used to calling him McCree. Mm-hmm. What are you going to change it to? That's going to, like, capture us, I guess.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, it's weird they decided to call him Pol Pot. So that's an odd.
Is that the new name?
No, that's a dictator.
Okay.
It's a dictator name. They are I think what the options are is Dahmer is one. They want to call him Jeffrey Dahmer
They're actually going to leave his first name. Yeah, Ted Bundy is actually a finalist, which is odd.
Yeah, Ted Bundy. It's weird.
What if it's Bundy, but it's like Bundee? It's not that McCree, but it's the Bundy.
Yeah, fine then. Bundy, Ted Bundy. It's perfect.
Let's see. His name is what? Jesse McCree. So what can we change it to? Jorcy McCray.
Jesse Chidunda. Right, Chris?
Okay. I like that.
I do understand that. Yes.
You get it.
Justin McCraw.
Or how about McGruff? Scruff McGruff.
Okay, there we go.
The crime fighting McGruff. Dog, yeah. Everyone loves him. He hasn't done anything bad.
It's a good name. He has not sexually harassed anyone that I'm aware of.
No. Not anyone yet.
Hey, Trey.
Yeah.
Hey, Trey.
What's up?
Are you gonna be participating in the Twitch boycott?
Yeah. All right. Talk about this. When is it? September 1st.
September 1.
Okay. September 1st, that's a Wednesday. I hope Soroy's streaming so I could call his ass out. Say, hey, man, it's the day we're not supposed to stream.
Just so people are aware of what this boycott is about,
yeah, please
in case
do.
You have not heard. Mm-hmm. So a lot of minority groups, I think specifically like black streamers and LGBTQ streamers mm-hmm. have been facing a lot of targeted harassment.
Yeah,
from,
I've heard about that. Yeah.
Certain content creators.
Like they're like getting raids, but they're not friendly raids. They're,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the full scope of the story, but the boycott is just for Twitch to recognize that there is an issue and that content creators should feel safe on their platform.
Okay. Okay. So I will not be streaming on that Wednesday.
It's also based around the hashtag Twitch do better is basically what people are rallying around.
Okay. No, mm-hmm. it's a good idea. You should not stream that day.
Did you also hear that Twitch is doing their, of course, annual Subtember, where
I
you
saw
get
that.
Discounted prices? It'll be starting on September 2nd for some reason. I don't know who told them that the month started on the 2nd, but hey.
Well, I guess, are they recognizing the September 1st thing?
It's them recognizing it without directly acknowledging it.
Okay, that's kind of cool.
It's not cool at all.
I don't know.
Wrong opinion.
Not cool. Uncool. That's not cool, guys. Not cool. You should. No, yeah, they should probably just recognize it altogether.
I mean,
do something about it. Right.
They should fix that issue. Hey,
I wasn't
if you
thinking.
Fix that issue, people will gladly spend money on Twitch on September 1st.
Sorry,
but
I was thinking of my next joke. I was not thinking of the ramifications of that. Yeah, no, that's they should probably just. It's like any of these issues, you know. They just I don't get why they don't just face the issue, you know. Face forward.
The unfortunate reality is that evil people also spend money on Twitch too, and
yeah,
you can't just cut out that revenue stream as. Weird.
Well,
of
if they're harassing people, that should be against their policies,
that
right?
That absolutely should be, but humanity is a very weird specimen, mm-hmm. and I don't understand how humanity works.
I don't either. Because if you're sending people...
According to a Washington Post article...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, before you got to that, according to a recent Washington Post article... Twitch streamers have said that the issue has been exacerbated in the past few months because the platform expanded its tag list to include 350 tags classified by gender, sexual orientation, race, nationality, ability, mental health, and more to allow creators to more easily find a community. But it's also made it easier for people who want to go raid people to find them as well.
Okay. Yeah, because you see those tags like LGBT stream and... yeah, and so people could just find those tags and be like, okay, we're taking out this guy today and just send all their followers. Okay, I see. Yeah, I don't know what you do in that case because that's, you know, they're using something good for evil.
I mean, I guess I'm not Twitch. I don't know how you would, but I guess the first step would be to actually start cracking down on these people who are doing targeted harassments.
Right.
I feel like that's at least step one.
Those people can't have that many followers. It's not going to hurt them to, like, get those people out of there, right? The people that are doing that.
I guess I don't know the size of the raiders of who comes into those chats. So I can't say for specifics how much.
I mean, you hope they don't have that many people watching.
You would hope, yeah. But also you really can't hope with the with the gamers on the internet these days.
Right.
So
no, rating should be an awesome thing. Like it's always fun when
rating,
you get a big grade.
Rating is amazing,
yeah.
But not for this purpose.
No. No, thank you
rating
for
is
clarifying
amazing. Trey
the whole
Mitchell.
Thing, Chris. Yeah.
So just to kind of recap that story, because we did kind of derail it. September 1st, Twitch-wide boycott will be happening. So if you can, please do not watch streamers. Please
oh,
do
not watch
stream,
stream at
day.
All either. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Cool. I won't do that. Don't be on stream.
Maybe if you were gonna give money to a Twitch Prime, maybe consider donating that money through PayPal instead. You won't get the subs, but you'll still support those creators.
Okay. Cool. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Thank you.
Got anything else? Connor, I know we have a bunch.
Oh, we have three more things.
Okay.
One of them's big. Have you guys heard of Gamescom? This is a small little thing that's happening right now.
I did. It's supposed to be the big conference now, not E3, because everyone gathers in Germany. But it was not live this year. You had Geoff Keighley doing it remotely, the presentation.
Why'd you pronounce his name weird?
Geoff Keighley.
There we go. That's correct.
G-E-O-F-F. And
absolutely.
It's Knightley. Spelled Knightley. Geoff Knightley.
Well, let me hit you with some of the big news from Gamescom so far. As we're recording this is Thursday, August 26th. So there is still Friday to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that obviously hasn't happened yet. And also, they're way ahead of us in terms of time because they're in Germany. Figure that out. I don't know how to do that. Math is hard. But so far, we got the Halo Infinite release date has been revealed. That will be December 8th, 2021.
Damn.
Were you expecting it to be that fast?
No, I was expecting it to be next year sometime.
I was actually expecting maybe a little earlier. I thought it was going to be November, but honestly makes sense for December.
Yeah, they need it soon.
That's why I thought it was going to be November. It's not because that's when the game will necessarily be ready, but they just need it out there.
Yeah. Halo Xbox looks awesome, and I kind of want it.
Don't get sucked in, Trey.
Kind of want that.
No, you don't need it.
Looks cool.
Yeah, but you don't need it.
Looks like a big old Halo box. I want it.
Well, let's move on so you don't keep thinking about it.
Okay. Austin's going to be excited. Austin's
a big
Halo guy.
Excited.
Yeah.
Hey, the multiplayer's free. Maybe I'll try it out, you know?
Yeah. Game Pass, man.
Always a strong point of Halo games.
I mean, Game Pass, it's on Game Pass, so you could play for free.
Well, for free with the purchases you make for Game
right.
Pass, obviously.
Yeah.
But otherwise, only $1 for your first month sign up.
There you go.
First taste.
Play Psychonauts 2.
Yeah.
We get a reveal trailer for a game from Firaxis. It's a Marvel XCOM game called Marvel's Midnight Suns. Thoughts?
Have not even heard about this. So, granted, I haven't heard a lot about the Gamescom announcements. So, this is probably my first time hearing about most of them. Sounds like a neat idea. Marvel has so many characters where a tactics game, I think, lends itself just really well to that format.
Have you guys, either of you guys, played a bunch of XCOM?
I have not. I know, Chris, you have, right?
I've played, I wouldn't say a good chunk of mm-hmm. the 2014 game.
Mm-hmm.
It's called XCOM, but it's like the one from like last generation. I've played that one, and that's the only XCOM game I've played. I was given XCOM 2 by a friend,
mm-hmm.
and I promised to stream that.
Gotcha. So this one, it's looks a lot like XCOM. The reveal trailer, it looks super cool. It's going to feature like Iron Man, Wolverine, Captain America, Captain Marvel. Those are in the trailer. We also can see, hold please. Why can I not think of the guy that's on the bike? What's the movie Nicolas Cage was in where he played a superhero, Trey?
Ghost Rider?
Ghost Rider.
Ghost yeah. Rider's in here as well. So, if you like XCOM and or Marvel characters, or Firaxis for that matter, then this looks like it'll be fun.
Is Firaxis the people who make the new XCOM games? Do you know?
I believe so. Let me check. I was like 90% sure, but now that you've asked me, I'm scared that I'm wrong. I believe, Austin could tell me if I was right or not, Firaxis also does the ports of Civ to the Switch.
Huh. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do XCOM.
Got it.
Yep.
Okay, so I have a little more confidence in that now than I did 5 minutes ago.
Yes, Firaxis Games is best known for developing Civilization and XCOM. So there you go. So that'll probably be pretty good. We're getting new Saints Row, February 2022.
I have Saints Row 3, I think, downloaded on Switch. I've not played them, though. I know they're like more off-the-wall Grand Theft Auto games.
Chris, have you played them? Chris, did you ever play any?
I've not played them. I admittedly never had a whole lot of interest in them, but I wouldn't mind trying it out if I had the chance.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of them is on Game Pass. I don't know. But
So I played 3 and 4. 3 is the one that is like is basically GTA. Mm-hmm. There is a character voice just called Nolan North, where it's just Nolan North in character. There's another, maybe that is 4 actually, but one of either 3 or 4 has just Nolan North as a voice, and it's mm-hmm. just Nolan North playing himself.
It's good. It's fun.
That's
the
funny.
The fourth one, I believe, you play as like the president, but also you're in like a matrix, basically. You're like in the matrix, mm-hmm. kind of. They are just like kind of wild and wacky. They're fun though, dude. Like they're really, really fun. They're like even more hyped up GTA.
Yeah, this was actually, I think, probably the most surprising announcement to come out of this, at least from what I've heard so far.
See, I for some reason, I was hearing about that, though, that they're going to announce something about Saints Row.
It's been just such a long while since Saints Row 4. I can't remember how long exactly, but I feel like Saints Row 4 came out when I was still in high school. So
yeah, it came out a good while.
I think I had just started college. I'll look right now.
I think
the other thing is Saints Row 4. Oh, sorry, Trey, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I remember it like when I was starting to get back into video games, it being like talked about. So yeah,
Saints Row 4 was a 2013 game.
Yeah, that's about right. Damn.
Well, it's interesting because Saints Row 4 pretty much took the game as far as you could go. Because you were like in that matrixy kind of thing, like you just get superpowers.
It's not the same character, right? It's a whole new gang. That was another game where there was a lot of comments because, you know, it's not all of them are white dudes, so it's definitely woke, right? That we don't have just white dudes. A lot of comments on the Twitch. So, yeah, I think it's gonna be pretty different. It looked kind of like Watch Dogs almost, but that trailer at least showed.
So did it actually have like gameplay shown, or was it just those CGI concepts?
Just a CGI trailer.
Okay.
Which I am starting to get a little annoyed by, you know? Just the pure CGI trailer. I do kind of want to see gameplay now a little bit more, even if it's just a little bit. You know, I don't know. I am starting to get a little tired of the CGI trailer.
There's only so much you can really like use a CG trailer for.
Right.
But CG trailers are really good for like showing off what the concept of your world is and getting you kind of hooked. But like you can show as many crazy cool ideas in your CG trailers as you want. But how is that going to all make sense with gameplay? And usually if those kinds of trailers are accompanied by a gameplay trailer right after that contextualizes all those things you see in the trailer, I think that's a really good combo, but you got to be immediate on that.
Right. Otherwise, it's nothing. Otherwise, you have Beyond Good and Evil 2, where it's just nothing. And you'll never see that game.
Well, I think kind of like a more interesting example of that is like the game Contraband that Microsoft showed off at E3 this year, which was just the CGI concept trailer. And it's like open world co-op action RPG or something. It's like that could describe literally any game.
Yeah.
You've told me nothing about this game.
Right. Right.
So I think that's a bit more kind of the issue you have, Trey. Mm-hmm. I think Beyond Good and Evil 2 is an entirely separate.
Yeah. That was probably a bad example.
No, but, I'm not saying that's a wrong, but I think it kind of works for Beyond Good and Evil 2 because it was like a sequel that was so long in the making.
Right.
Also, everything else surrounding Beyond Good and Evil 2 discussion could just take up another podcast right. in terms of how long we could talk about it.
Yeah. It's weird. It's so weird. All right. Yeah.
Horizon.
Horizon Zero Dawn?
Oh, yeah. That's Horizon right. We're talking
Forbidden
about Games
West.
Oh, yeah. Horizon. It's, release date for that.
February 18th, 2022.
In Feb. I can't wait. I love the first one. I want to play the second one. I'm down for that. Another PlayStation 5.
I don't have a lot of desire for the second Horizon. But then again, I guess I didn't have a whole lot of desire for the first one either.
What came out right when Breath of the Wild did.
That is
like
true.
Within a
that
week
was a
of
factor.
Each other. Yeah. Because
like
I definitely
3 days even.
Yeah. It was like really close. And because I definitely started Horizon, played Breath of the Wild, and picked Horizon back up. You know.
Yeah. So that's why I waited. I waited on Horizon when it was like $30 or whatever. And
yeah.
I definitely did not regret it because I enjoyed playing that game a lot. But
it was a really good science fiction story too. I think they told mm-hmm. a really cool sci-fi story that we've talked about on this podcast before, Connor. Get Connor play Horizon this year, right?
We have. That's true.
Yeah,
yeah, I really liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Trey, we've got to keep going though.
Okay.
Lego Star Wars the Skywalker Saga. Trey, you loved all three of those games, or all those three of those movies. Are you going to play the game?
No, I didn't love all three of those movies.
You loved
I think
them.
The third
That's all you
one
talked
ruined
about for days.
Star Wars for me forever.
It's all you talked about for days.
I'm not a big Star Wars guy.
And what a lie. You're creaming your jeans over the Star Wars anime.
No, no. If you like Star Wars, cool. I'm just, it's not my thing. Not my bag. I get pissed when people tag me on Star Wars shit. Like, I'm the Star Wars. No. Get that shit away from me.
Do people actually tag you on Star Wars discussion?
I've been tagged before on, like, a Star Wars thing, thinking that, hey, I like video games and nerdy shit. I must like Star Wars. And like, no, bruh, that ain't me. I like Star Wars. Like, I like the original movies. I like some of the shit with the
sequels.
But
you just said you didn't like Star Wars.
I'm not like a humongous fan, though. That's not my personality. Like some people's. Made it their personality.
Death Stranding Director's Cut. You're going to get new items,
it's
new features, and
too long.
Missions,
why
including
do we
a
need
pack.
A Director's Cut? We could use a jetpack.
Well, Trey, there was a lot left on the cutting room floor when he was making the game, so now we have to add it back in, yeah.
Man, I don't know if I could stream that game again. I might try to play it again. I don't know if I could stream it again. It was fun just talking, but like I don't know what... Maybe it was just the time between. It just... I was just dreading playing it. Like on stream, and it might just be something.
Well,
where
speaking
I play by
of
myself,
dreading playing,
you know, I don't know.
Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah, all right. I'm not a big racing
Next.
Fan.
Dying Light 2.
That's supposed to
Are
be really good.
Hyped,
that
Trey?
Game's been in the oven for a while. That game's supposed to be really great. I mean, I hear Dying Light 1's pretty good.
It's one of those games where it's been in development for so long that I am surprised when I hear it's still being developed.
Definitely. And that might be COVID.
Absolutely. But I mean, I think it's been in development for a long time, though.
Like, it has.
Can't remember. People speak highly of the first one, though. This is a cool for those people, I suppose.
It's like a parkour
Xbox
zombie
Cloud
game,
Gaming's
Connor.
Coming to the... Oh, go ahead, Trey.
No, it's a parkour zombie game, Connor.
I'm out.
Okay.
Out.
Happy for you.
Xbox Cloud Gaming coming to Xbox Series X and S and Xbox One, holiday 2021.
So Ooh. That just means you can play new gen games on your old consoles, right?
Well, yes. You said it's coming to the Series X and 1X, right?
No. Series X and S and Xbox One.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So Xbox One, meaning all Xbox Ones. Okay.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And in nostalgia that no one cares about, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
That was my second guess.
The same thing.
Not really. Turtles are a little... I don't know. I think the Turtles are a little bit... Have a little bit more, but... Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles are like that. It's like late... It's old millennial stuff, or late Gen X stuff. I just don't have an interest in.
It's a great 1-2 punch to make me not interested in talking to you.
It's like giant bomb. Like, those guys are like in their 40s and they talk about Ghostbusters and TMNT a lot. It's like people who are now 40 talk about that stuff a lot.
If you look at me and tell
me being a young,
really
hip 33-year-old, no interest.
If you start to have a conversation about TMNT with me, I will leave.
Okay.
I don't care. I don't care which turtle you are.
I'm kind of a Michelangelo.
Okay.
Connor is definitely Raphael. Cool but rude. Cool but rude.
So,
you know?
What I'm getting is for a bunch of guys who have no interest in Teenage Mutant Turtles, we got a lot of discussion on Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. We did. We did talk about the turtles a lot today. I don't mind the turtles. Then, like, I don't hate the turtles.
We're not
all
having
about
a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles conversation. Stop.
I'm all about pizza and having a fun time.
Stop it.
Having cool moves.
Amazon's New World beta opened up. It's going to open September 9th through 12th.
Can I be a turtle?
Are you
in
excited
this beta?
For this? Okay. We're done. Trey, I need you to be serious for a second because
okay.
Fortnite's going to let you watch the Eye of a Dream speech.
Oh.
So
what?
Can we get a little serious? Can we get serious, please?
I'm very serious.
It sounds like you're not taking this seriously.
I just want to know about the turtles, but okay. We can talk about Fortnite.
Well, yeah, you can talk about the turtles all you want. I'm trying to talk about history, Trey.
Okay.
Something we can all learn from. Okay? Now, when you think educational, what game pops in your head?
Mario Teaches Typing.
Yeah, Mario
good one.
Teaches Math. Blaster
What's the
Pals.
Second game?
Math Blaster.
What's the
Blaster Pals.
One?
Ooh. Math
That's
Blaster's
right. It's
good.
Fortnite.
It is.
Fortnite
you know what?
Is
honestly,
the game that comes
honestly,
to your head.
I would say Assassin's Creed. And they actually do. I think in like the last couple, they do have a.
Yeah, this.
They have a thing for teachers. That's like it's like not
yeah,
combat.
This is
it's
close
just,
to that actually. This is what I thought when I read this story.
Yeah.
Is that the Assassin's Creed that was in Egypt did have a mode where you could just walk around Egypt.
Now,
like
that's
ancient
a little Egypt. More in good taste than maybe. I don't know what this is, actually.
Let me hit you with a couple things. So, number one, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous I Have a Dream speech is now viewable in a Fortnite exhibit. I'm insane after reading that.
Yeah.
I want to
yeah.
get that clear.
Uh-huh.
Number one, the interactive exhibit will be done in Fortnite. You can dive into the March Through Time experience by finding the link on the Discover menu or inputting a special code. From there, you're able to watch the speech, and then you can explore the in-game museum or work together in cooperative mini games.
Is this before or after you play the ripoff of Among Us?
This is instead of.
Okay.
So, thoughts on this. I would like for you to break down your thoughts on MLK in Fortnite.
Chris?
This is obviously a very weird story. Like, I'm not sure what to really make of it. I don't think it's a... like a bad thing. I think at the very least, if it gets more people interested in the history of the civil rights movement and gets them tangentially interested in learning about that stuff, especially because our the United States in particular could really use a lot of knowledge about that time.
Also, Texas is picking it out of their curriculum. So.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Were you unaware of that, Chris?
I was not aware of the Texas curriculum, but
yep.
Yeah. So for like reasons like that, especially because you really can't say what the public school system is teaching kids nowadays, or like how much that's being received. Bottom line, I think this is a good thing because, hey, it gets that story, gets that part of our history out there more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Fortnite's the avenue to do it.
We like Fortnite.
That's because a lot of kids play Fortnite, right? Yeah. And like, here's the thing: like, would this be different if it was Minecraft?
It would be weirder if it was Minecraft.
But like Minecraft, it's like, oh yeah, that's already kind of creative. It stimulates your creativity. If they did some kind of museum thing in Minecraft, I don't know how they would do it, but that would be kind of neat. I think Fortnite is just, and this is in their like creative mode. Like they have that mode where it's non-combat, right? It's just weird. Like it's, and I agree with Chris. I think it is net positive if kids are playing this, and it is, you know, playing this game, and they can do these kind of weird things and they can learn about history. That's good. I think that is a net positive. I just think it's just at first glance, it's weird. And, you know, Fortnite's sort of a punchline. And so that's weird. And Fortnite, you know, has been sort of the, we'll just advertise your brand, right? Or we don't want anyone playing any other game, so we'll just rip off your game. It just, I don't know. It's weird. And I don't like Fortnite.
It's even weirder that they're going to have a mode where you can fight Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
And I don't think that's the mode. I don't think that's the mode.
My bad.
Chris.
Maybe I was reading a different one.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's fine.
No, I think, honestly, it is. It's fine. It's just going where people are at and showing them, like, hey, sure, this is a thing. It's also not something that anyone has to do unless you click on the link or put in the code to get there.
Yeah.
It's cool that it's there. I don't know how many people will use it, and I don't know how many people will really get a lot from it. But the fact that it's there and like some people are going to get something from it is totally worth it, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, like if you read the comments on like the stories that like publish this article, like comments are probably about what you'd expect the comments for this kind of story to be. It's like, why are you trying to infect education in my Fortnite? It's like, but I mean, like, yeah, we've said it that we think this is a good thing overall, but it's just strange.
Just, yeah, and strange. Kind of a punchline.
Yeah, and I agree with you, Connor, that I don't know how well this is going to be received in this format.
The fact that it's there is cool, though. You know, like, that's fine. I think that's honestly how I feel about it.
If it's not, like, really being forced in, I suppose that's the best compromise you could really come up with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, they didn't just put the museum, the in-game museum on every island.
Mm-hmm.
That you drop onto.
I don't even know how that works within the game. But
yeah, like we were bringing up that Assassin's Creed like explore mode, or
it's like
whatever
an exploring thing.
Like, I mean, I imagine it functions sort of like that, but just in the Fortnite engine.
Yeah. Man, you remember when that was like a tower defense zombie game?
That Austin paid money for? Yes.
Yeah, Austin bought, physically paid money for. And then they stole someone's idea. It became the biggest thing ever. And then they're trying to steal other people's ideas. It's great.
Hey, Troy, speaking of the biggest thing ever.
Yeah.
There's actually no segue.
No, I'm not
here. That's all
joke.
The news.
I'm not going to make a joke.
But I want to end it.
Can I do one thing here?
It's your show.
2022. The beginning of 2022 is going to be pretty packed with video games. If you're feeling a little light right now, 2022 is going to be wild because we got Elden Ring coming out beginning of 2022. We got Ghostwire Tokyo. We got Horizon Forbidden West, Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga, Pokemon Legends Arceus, Marvel's Midnight Suns, Nobody Saves the World, Rainbow Six Extraction, Saints Row, Salt and Sacrifice, Sifu, and Stray coming out beginning of 2022.
Is Sifu related to waifu or no?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's supposed to be pronounced Sifu or something like that.
Sifu?
From what I understand, it's like a martial arts game where...
Oh, not...
Sort of like Tekken, okay. where each like button's a limb, and you can like create your own like fighting it's style like based on which limbs you use.
That's cool.
So it's like Quap.
I mean, Quap's fun, I guess, sure.
Okay. Anyway, Connor, go ahead.
Well, we've run a little long, so I was just going to do the Twitter questions, and we can call this one for the day.
Okay. Yeah, we had a game, but I guess we've gone over. So if you want to do the Twitter questions, you can.
I would love to do the Twitter questions.
Yeah.
And then I have to follow up every week with wrestling signs that are very video game related.
Okay.
All right. So number one, CBreezy91 says, Trey, do you stand when you poop?
No, I think that would be very cumbersome and difficult, and you wouldn't want to do that because you might get a little drippage on your leggy.
I wonder if he's saying, like, do you squat over the toilet?
No, I sit on that toilet and I poop.
Even in public?
Yeah. I don't care.
All right.
What's going to be
on there?
Do
you make a little nest? Are you nest guy? Do you
No,
put the toilet
not anymore.
Down?
I used to be, but I just say F it now. I don't like going gross places, but if I'm just like in a public place, I don't care.
Chris, how about you?
Chris? Uh-oh.
He refuses to answer.
Chris?
He's dead.
Hold on. He said hold on. All right.
He's dead.
You think he might be dead. Or he just doesn't want to be on this anymore.
That's true.
What's going on with Chris?
I don't know, man.
His head. Chris?
Hello?
Chris?
Hello.
We got you.
My mic disconnects sometimes.
It's all
so
good.
Sorry.
What's your answer? We thought you were just laying out on us.
Yeah, I cannot discount the possibility that I've never stood up and pooped at the same time. However, it is a very uncommon occurrence. I cannot answer that I have, in fact, pooped while standing up.
Do you do the little nest when you poop with toilet paper?
It depends. It depends where I'm at. If it feels like just a really seedy bathroom, I'll do it. But most of the time, I don't care.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
That's a good call. Perry Dactyl Show says, "When's Chris the Field streaming XCOM?"
Yeah, Chris.
Look at that. That's a tie-in to something we talked about today.
That is a tie-in.
Well, I can tell you when I'm not streaming XCOM.
September 1st.
Exactly. I don't know.
No one is streaming September 1. Don't even go on Twitch.
Please do not. Uninstall
Mike,
the app.
Don't do it.
Maybe soon.
Then, good. I hear it's fun. It's that you can name your characters, right? Like you can.
Well, not only can you name your characters, you can like completely customize them from the ground up. So like you could make your friends and put them in the game if you really wanted.
And you make a Trey Mitchell, please?
I could.
All right, good.
I'll get you killed pretty early, Trey.
Why?
I apologize.
Don't
do that. Just because I'm bad.
All right. It's okay.
Perry Dactyl also says, why is Fire Emblem bad? I assume that's at Chris. Mm. So Chris, go ahead and answer him. Why is Fire Emblem bad?
Fire Emblem's bad because it's very popular with the kids who like those strategy games, but don't like strategy games that much. It's got cute girls and therefore bad.
Girls are bad.
You can clip Trey, not me.
And then Chris, I don't know if you've heard this award-winning segment, but there have recently been a trend in wrestling signs at wrestling shows that are like deep cut video game signs.
This is a very fun topic to discuss.
Okay, good. There's no way you've heard it from me, so where else did you get this from?
I mean, just you online? Just see them pop up on Twitter sometimes, just right, someone
good.
Posting the signs out of context, like
good.
Kingdom Hearts 2 is the worst one or something like that.
Yep, that was one of them. So this week, here's what we have. Some of these, I think I'll need Chris to even explain what these mean, but the first one I have is buy and play Sakura Wars. Anything?
Sakura Wars is a strategy RPG series made by Sega. It's one of those series where most of the games are exclusive to Japan. So I've not played a Sakura's War game for myself, but they're very highly spoken of.
There you go. Strive as fine as is. Stop complaining.
I'm assuming they are referring to Guilty Gear Strive, the hot new fighting game, which a lot of people in the Guilty Gear community have not been very passionate about, but it's got its fans.
Trey, this is impressive.
He's like Rain Man with these games.
He is like Rain Man.
Yeah.
This is not what happens when you don't watch. This is what happens when you don't watch movies or listen to music or anything.
I think you know what the reference is, right?
Rain Man?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm tangentially familiar with Rain Man.
That's all you really need to do. The movie's okay.
How about
did you know that was the most popular, that was the highest grossing movie of that year? Rain Man.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. It's insane.
It is.
Would never have guessed.
You know why I think? No, it wasn't 70s. It was 80s.
Okay.
I think it's because I think actors were way more of a draw back in the day than they are now. And it was starring Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise. Like two of the
that
biggest
makes
names
sense.
Back then.
By that.
I think you would see a movie for an actor. I don't think you really do that nowadays. As much.
How about Legends of Dragoon is better than Final Fantasy VII?
Oh, I know that reference. But Chris, go ahead.
Chris, number one, do you agree?
I can't fully agree. I've only played a little bit of Legend of Dragoon. I've not made it past disc one, but I enjoy Legend of Dragoon. It's a bit janky, though. So it's got lacking in polish, where I think Final Fantasy VII has a little bit more polish, ironically enough. But both are absolutely great games from what I played.
Mm-hmm. Only a couple more. We've got one that just says Chrono Trigger
is
also good.
I guess I didn't answer the original question. I would prefer Final Fantasy VII over Legend of Dragoon.
Okay.
Anyway.
How about Chrono Trigger is also good?
It is good.
Chrono Trigger is a phenomenal game.
We're going to have TC on discussing Chrono Trigger at some point.
Or Perry.
Next year.
I need to play. We need to get TC on. We need to get everybody on.
Remaster Guitaru Man.
Man, these are real deep cut.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is.
I don't know Guitaru Man that well, but it's sort of like a rhythm game adventure where this guy has guitar and he transforms into like Power Ranger that like plays guitar better or something like that. It's a very, very niche game that was originally released on the PS2, I believe. I think it was made by the people who did Parappa the Rapper, but I might be wrong.
How about Xenoblade Chronicles is the best?
That's a Chris sign.
I mean, I'm assuming they probably mean like Xenoblade Chronicles, the first game, is the best of that series, and I agree.
Here's a good one. Like I said, only a couple more. Dragon Warrior Monsters are better than Pokemon.
Now this is a very complicated discussion that will probably end with a fist fight.
Okay. What's the discussion?
He doesn't even want to have it because he doesn't want to have that fist fight. And
he doesn't
want to
fight
that.
People.
How about
this,
Persona?
This is a very,
Dawn
this is very interesting. Wait, I'm sorry. What was it?
Persona Fears Danganronpa.
What does that even mean?
I know what both of those are, Persona and Danganronpa.
Yeah, but what does it mean when one game series fears the other?
They fear
so,
it.
That is a specifically a wrestling sign because normally that says it's basically wrestler A fears wrestler B. And so they just replaced it with two video games.
I get it, though.
I think that is all of them. Yeah, that would be all of the signs for this week.
Wow.
And then
I'm
I have one more question for Chris.
I actually managed to be able to contextualize all those signs.
That's crazy.
I'm going to be more impressed if you can contextualize this for me. So I was researching a game that we didn't end up playing, but we'll play next week when Austin's back. It was going through some of the, it was going through the top games on Metacritic by rating. And if I'm looking at the top 15, 20, I know all the games. There were no surprises, right? Like, I was very aware of all of them. But one of them caught my eye, and I've never heard of this game in my life. It came out this year in April for the Switch. Chris, can you tell me anything about a game called The House in Fata Morgana Dreams of the Revenants Edition?
No, I cannot.
Wait, that was the top game?
Yes. Dude, if I go, I'm going to go to Metacritic right now, and I will tell you what it is. It's like a 98.
Okay, hold on. What was this game called again?
All right, hold on. Give me 1 second, and I will pull it up. Best games of all time. If you go to best games of all time, this game is currently rated. Hold, please. I'm getting there. Maybe I'm not. Now I'm going to have a hard time finding it.
So it's apparently number 4.
Yeah. Tell me, what is it?
Right between Soul Calibur and Grand Theft Auto 4, apparently.
Exactly. Here's the summary. A gothic suspense tale set in a cursed mansion is a full-length visual novel spanning nearly a millennium that deals in tragedy, human nature, and insanity.
Damn.
The fact that it's a visual novel and it's that highly rated is shocking to me.
It's a 98, and the user score is an 8.3.
Should we be playing this?
I don't know. I need Chris to play it and tell me.
Yeah, Chris, play it.
Okay, so I think I can answer this. So I'm looking at this. There's only 8 critic reviews on here, and all of them are positive except for 180. So this is, I think what this is just people who are really into visual novels loving this game.
Yeah.
But because there's not many reviews, it has a high average Metacritic score.
Mm.
Okay. I figured you would know. I just wanted to know.
I am not at all a visual novel guy, so could not tell you anything about this game, really.
It was just fun going down a list and being like, yep, I heard of this one, What is this?
You see, all these top 15 games have a must-play little badge by them, except for this one, The House of Fata Morgana.
It's crazy, though.
So, I guess it's not a must play. It's very highly revered, but not a must play.
All right. Okay. I don't have to
play
it.
I was just wondering.
It's so funny.
Trey, I think you should play it. It looks like it is. You know what else doesn't have a must play on it? The Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition.
Whoa.
Ooh.
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 Burn.
None of those are must plays.
No.
Zelda's, you know what else is not a must play?
What?
Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Chris, it was so good to have. Really, it's not a must play?
No, it's one of the 3 that doesn't have a must play in the top 65.
It is a must play. You need to play Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
I have Metal,
Celeste.
I have Metal Gear Solid must 5, play. But I want to play Metal Gear Solid 4 first.
You should.
And
Peace Walker. Yeah. Chris, it was so good to have you on. Can you please plug your stuff again?
Well, I am pretty much everywhere is Chris the Fields. YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, all that. I'm most recognized for my YouTube content, which is youtube.com/ChrisTheFields.
Mm-hmm.
If you like Fire Emblem, if you like really just JRPGs in general, I probably got you covered somehow, some way.
Nice. Well, Chris, thanks again for coming on.
If you like
on.
A was, guy who likes having fun.
He is a guy who likes having
oh,
fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We have fun.
We do. We have a lot of fun. Chris,
this
thanks
was
for,
a lot of fun.
Yes, it was. And we appreciate you coming on. We should do it again soon. We should definitely have you on again soon. And,
you can invite me back anytime.
Well, thank you. And we will someday. Connor, thanks for always being there and not going on best friend trips like Austin.
True. That's right. How could I go on a best friend trip without you, Trey?
I know. We'll be back next week with Austin. And thank you for listening. We'll see you.
I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime. These visions, I can change them, sort and rearrange them. A world of understanding, which you have never seen before. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime. How could I make you understand? We are radiant beams of light, shining bright even when we are small. In the fall.
This is where it picks up. The snare coming in. Good, gets you hyped. People know the chorus by this point, so they can sing with you and you go,
I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. Huh. Huh. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall.
When was it? Tell me.
In the summertime. These visions, I can change them, sort and rearrange them. A world of understanding, which you have never seen before. I had a dream that I was floating to your house in the summertime. I had a dream that I was 300 feet tall in the summertime.